Jesus Christ was the greatest prophet of all time. While on earth, he revealed six signs of his second coming. To be protected in the dangerous days ahead, you need to be able to discern these signs. Learn what these signs are next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Matthew chapter 24 gives us six signs of when all these things will come to pass. It says in Matthew 24 that he will give us signs where we, six of them, and specifically I want to talk to you about today, that will show you that his second coming is at the very door. Of course, a lot of other events are at the very door too. You can see they're all intertwined, and we want to tie them together, and it really reveals a great deal. So I want to discuss those six signs today and show you that Christ's coming is at the very door. Now that is the way it's expressed in Matthew 24, and one of those signs is even that God will protect you now and in the future if you will obey Him and if you will help declare His warning message. Now you can look at all the history of the New Testament, and you'll see that God never said to any of the apostles of the first century or later until this very end that the second coming of Christ is at the very door. The only time He says it in the Bible is in the last era to the last apostle. Then He says it is at the very door, and then He shows us how to prove that to ourselves from Matthew 24. Let me read that to you, this verse about the being at the very door. There are actually two verses, Matthew 24, verses 32 and 33. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door, the Moffat translation says. Even at the door. And Christ's return is, you can know when it's right at the door. You won't know the day or the hour, but you will know when it's at the door. That's critical to understand. We have some reprint articles I want to send you at the end of this program, but here is one of them on how not to be deceived. And that was an article in The Trumpet, and it talks a lot about this subject. But notice what it says in Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Your coming, number one, and the end of the age, it should read. So I want to read something that I wrote in one of these articles. It says that Matthew 24 and verse 3 refers to the two commissions of the end time. The sign of Your coming refers to the commission of preaching God's gospel around the world. And the sign of the end of the age refers to God's commission to prophesy again in the Laodicean era, or the last era of God's church. You can read about that in my book, Malachi's Message, and we will send it to you. All of our literature is free. But we want you to understand this. You do have to do some studying, and we'll do everything we can to help you understand it, because it's really the most important prophetic message that Jesus Christ ever delivered. The most important single one, I should say. So pay close attention to that, and you will understand things that will stun you, I do believe. This article goes on to say, what was the sign of Christ's coming? Well, the gospel was preached around the world. I'll show you that. What is the sign of the end of the age? Well, the work of God's church today, the commission of those two eras are both signs, but only one of them belongs to this six I'm talking about today. God gave two signs. The great gospel commission was the sign to this world of Christ's imminent return. The return is near when you see that sign. But it doesn't say it's at the very door. It just says where his return is imminent and it is near. But then there's another part of that. There's a dual prophecy here, and we want to look at both sides of it. But notice verse 14 and see what it says there. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's going to be a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. But here's the thing that you have to understand, and this is a little bit more, requires a little more study if we're going to understand it and have the real clarity there. Then the end shall come, and the word end in verse 14 is not the same Greek word as the end in verse 3. The commentaries tell us that the context must reveal which end is being discussed in verse 14. When he's talking about the gospel being preached to the world, well, that's a different end than the one here in verse 14. The context has to tell us what the one in 14 means, and it, of course, it's really about understanding all these things in Matthew 24. That's what this end is about here in verse 14. I continue with the article. The context shows us that this is the end of the period during which the gospel was preached to the world as the primary commission. So this Matthew 24 and verse 14 end is not the end of this age discussed in verse 3. The disciples asked two questions. Well, what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Again, we have here a twofold sign. The first sign of Christ's coming is the preaching of the gospel around the world. The second question specifically is about the sign of the end of the age of man. See, when all these things come to pass, that's the sign of the end of the age of man. And of course, Christ returns then. Christ says that when these things are at the very door, it's at this end of all these events that are unfolding in Matthew 24. Now, we'll give you a lot of material to help you understand this, but it is something that we have to study, but it is one of the most exciting studies you'll ever have in the Bible because it's the greatest prophetic message, single message, that Christ delivered. What is so great about it? Well, that's what we need to understand. Notice Matthew 24, 14 again. God begins to specifically emphasize the end of the age sign in the Laodicean era, or the last era of the church, not the one when the gospel was preached around the world. That's the sixth era, but all these things are coming to pass in the seventh era. If you talk about specific fulfillments. And that's what we're talking about here. But God says that last era has to prophesy again, and that will take us right up to, it tells us all about at the very door when Jesus Christ himself is going to return to this earth. That's what it's all about. God inspired the disciples to ask their questions the way they did. It is clearly about the last two eras of God's true church. And I wanted to read that to you to try to make it as clear as possible. We need to understand this magnificent prophecy. So the first sign I'm giving you is not when Christ's coming is at the very door, but it is near. That's the difference. It is near. Really, when that gospel is preached around the world, that's when all of these events begin to unfold and be fulfilled specifically in Matthew 24. That's the last era of God's church. So Christ gives us the six signs when the second coming of Christ is at the very door. He gives us the six signs. And it's at the end of this age, in the beginning of Christ's rule, it's a dual sign. And it comes to us in the very last era which leads directly into the second coming of Jesus Christ. So let me give you these six signs from Matthew 24, which are at the very door, shows that we are at the very time when Jesus Christ is about to return. It's at the very door. So that we have to keep in mind. Now, let me just read something to you from verses 4 and 5 of Matthew 24. Now notice the first and most important warning Christ gave His disciples, quote, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So they'll come and they'll be talking about Christ, and that will deceive many people because they don't tell you what His message is. They talk about His person, not the message that He delivered. And that gets them into deep trouble, including God's own church, His own people. That's how deceptive Satan the devil is. Notice verse 11 of Matthew 24. Verse 11 talks about some special people of God's. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity," or lawlessness, it should read, "shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." But the word love here is translated from the Greek word agape, which is the very love of God. So this means it has to be God's people. And they have the very love of God. God had to beget them and give them His Holy Spirit and the very love of God. And they're waxing cold and losing that love. That's the problem. And it says in the Greek that the majority of them were deceived. That is 95% of God's own people. A shocking event in the history of God's church. One of the greatest falling away, if not the biggest ever, I think it is really, the biggest falling away ever. And how does that happen? Because they don't understand Matthew 24. They've let their love wax cold. They don't love God. They don't love His message and hunger and thirst after righteousness the way they did in the beginning. And what a terrible mistake that is. They've gotten into lawlessness. Now, this is the synagogue of Satan that started before verse 14 was completed. That is, before this gospel was fully preached around the world by a man in that sixth era. Well, then there was a synagogue within the church that was fighting against him and fighting against what he was teaching, and they had that rebellion. And after this man died, God's leader died, those men took over the church of God, and it became the Laodicean or the lukewarm era. The lukewarm era that God says He's just going to spew them out of His mouth, because they turned away from the teachings of the man who established and restored all things. So says your Bible, Matthew 17, verses 10 and 11. So the number one sign is 95% of God's own people rebel. And you can see where the Laodicean story is in Revelation 3, verses 14 and 22, where it talks about them becoming lukewarm and rebellious toward God. Verse 12, of course, it talks about iniquity or lawlessness. Moral and spiritual decay is just going to abound. It's just all over the place in this world, and God's people get swept up in it. Now, that is a real problem. It says most of you, or the majority, get taken in by that, and there is such a moral decay that Mr. Armstrong said at one time that it's more dangerous than the nuclear bomb because of degeneration and getting mixed up in lawlessness and every kind of sin you can imagine. Then verse 21, here is sign number two, which helps us see that we're at the very door of the second coming. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So the second sign is the nuclear weapons are poised to destroy all humanity. That's what Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22 talks about. Here we're talking to North Korea, and they've had a real breakthrough in their nuclear development, and they're really sort of playing games with us, it seems, but they are dangerous. But this is little North Korea that is threatening America because they have missiles with nuclear warheads that are capable of reaching American cities. Little North Korea. Now, what do you think about that? See, this is a bizarre, extreme leader. He actually shows an eagerness to want war with the U.S., a nuclear war. Now, that's a kind of madness that it's hard to imagine, but that's the way some people in this world are thinking. Moffat translates it as the crisis at the close, where it talks about the time of the end. It means the crisis of all crises. And God is trying to get our attention. Kim Jong-un is that's just little North Korea. What about all the bombs that China has, that Russia has? And France has a lot of bombs, and Britain has a lot of bombs, and Israel has a lot of bombs, and Brazil has a lot of bombs, and Pakistan has a lot of bombs. I might just mention also that Europe has a lot of our atomic bombs that we've let them have. But isn't it folly to think that anybody could solve these problems except God Himself? Who could possibly solve all these problems except God? So we need to keep that in mind. Let's look at sign number 3, verse 37. "But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 37, verse 38. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Noah preached this message about the flood coming for 100 years, and they taunted and jeered him and continued to rebel. Well, God says it's going to be the same way today as in the days of Noah. You give them all the facts, all the information, all the proof they could possibly need, and they scorn it. And they're going to pay a heavy price for that. God is showing His love, expressing it, trying to save them from themselves and their own nuclear bombs. But if they won't listen, they're going to have to experience all of that, so we'd better learn some lessons. And even if it's individually, God says, look, if a nation doesn't do it, or your nation doesn't do it, and you do it, I'll protect you. I'll show you that. So they were really evil in the days of Noah, and it says their every thought was on evil continually. Can you imagine a man being that evil? Every single thought is evil. That is just a marvelous example to show us how inept and incapable the human mind is of doing anything righteous, it seems. Certainly not, they're not going to save themselves. Notice now sign number 4, verse 40. "Then shall two leaders be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left." Well, what's happening here? Two women. Well, they have a leader, and here's the two women, or two churches. That's a symbol of church. "Shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left." Well, they're both grinding. They're both doing the work. But one of them is lukewarm, and they're rich and increased with goods. They're putting that ahead of God and His family and His kingdom. And God says He's going to protect one church, and He's not going to protect the other, which is 95% of God's own people. If that doesn't sober us and make us realize that this is certainly dangerous knowledge in some way, but it's the most wonderful news you could possibly hear. And God says, okay, I'll take you out of that. I'll save you from it. And He'll protect you not only, let's say, at the end or right before the Great Tribulation, but He'll protect you up until that time. That is a wonderful, wonderful blessing from God. So the fourth sign is only one of God's churches is protected. And why are they protected? Because they're found doing, in verse 46, found doing the work of God. Another reprint article was written by myself, and it's titled, Was Jesus a Prophet? And you please ask for that, because it has quite a lot of information on what I'm talking about today. But then in verse 41, you can see that one church was grinding. They were doing a work, but it was lukewarm. God wasn't impressed. And He says, now watch and be careful. Watch and pray so you don't get caught up in all of this. God is pleading with us almost and trying to get us to understand. Luke 21, verse 36 says, from hour to hour keep awake. From the Moffat translation. You better keep awake. Don't go to sleep in this terrible, terrible time. And of course, that God is preparing us today for that second coming so we can share His rule over the entire earth. Then verse 45, who then is faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. God is going to bless those people when he comes back, if he finds that they are so doing the work of God. That's the people, that's the group that God is going to save, physically and spiritually. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Well, how about that? He's going to make them ruler over the entire universe. And that little 5% that does the work, he's going to have them sit there with him at headquarters for all time. It says in Revelation 3 and verse 12 that they shall go no more out. They're headquarters people because they've learned so much and they've obeyed God, and he's really blessing them mightily. Well, you can go on and see verse 48. The rebels lose their vision here. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Now, and he's getting in a bad attitude, and if he delays his coming, I can't wait. I don't have the faith to do that. I don't have the patience. And they just go along with all that evil. Verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's a horrible time that is coming upon this earth. So what does the sixth sign do? Well, God is going to punish his people. And the 50% of that 95% are going to repent in the Great Tribulation, the nuclear tribulation, but 50% of them are never going to repent. Of people who had the very Spirit of God and had the very power of God and all the understanding of God, but they just couldn't wait. If he didn't come when they thought he should, so they just turned away from God. This is dangerous knowledge, but it's the most wonderful knowledge you could ever hear. Christ is planning us this and helping all of us to be his own bride, his own wife. Revelation 19 and verse 7. So we think like our husband. We sit on the throne and share his throne with him for all eternity. What could be greater than that? Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Jesus Christ was the greatest prophet of all time. While on earth, he revealed six signs of his second coming. To be protected in the dangerous days ahead, you need to be able to discern these signs. Learn what these signs are. Christ's single most important prophetic message is in Matthew chapter 24. he warned his curious students of specific events that will precede his return to earth in power and glory as the King of Kings. Four of the signs he gave correlate to the four horsemen of the apocalypse depicted in the book of Revelation. That's right, the words of Christ himself make plain the mysterious book of Revelation. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, to understand the plagues that will soon strike the whole world as punishment for the sins of mankind. Mankind will pay a heavy price for not heeding God's warning, but you personally can hear and obey. God promises to protect all those with an open mind and a childlike willingness to change their lives as he directs. In this dangerous age, it is vital that you keep alert spiritually, tracking world events and praying about the fulfillment of prophecy. Discover the timeline of events leading directly to the second coming of your Savior and King. You can't afford to be ignorant of this powerful prophecy. Study the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse today. You will also receive three reprint articles with your order. The Seven Seals of Revelation have been opened. Was Jesus a prophet? And how not to be deceived? The book of Revelation is understood by almost no one today. Be among the few who understand. Prove how Jesus Christ was the greatest prophet who ever lived. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and three reprint articles about end-time prophecy. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and three reprint articles about end-time prophecy. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.